Father, we want to thank you today in the name of Jesus that the Word of God will go forth with demonstration and with power. And Father, everyone here, at the sound of my voice, that there is a miracle waiting for them, that you are going to do great things for them today. You're going to open doors. You're going to close doors that need to be closed. And you're going to put them in a new level of faith. And you're going to shut the door on depression and doubt and all that is tempting them to move backwards like the Israelites, going back to Egypt or going back to the ways to be under slavery. We thank you, Lord God, that none of these people will go back. We thank you, Lord God, they'll enjoy the blessings of the promises of God and go into their promised land and enjoy the good things that you have in store for them. We believe that tomorrow and today is a great day. It's going to be greater days ahead. Yeah, we have trouble, but you're with us. And so we're going to stand strong in that. We're going to sing louder when the trouble comes. So we thank you for a mighty anointing to break every yoke of bondage today. I believe a miracle service is on the way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, go ahead, be seated. Thank you for watching. If you're online somewhere, we love every one of you. We're talking about God with us in our time of trouble. And of course, we've been looking at the topic, God for us. And our text here, we're going to look at Psalm 118, verse 8, Psalm 118, verse 6. And we're going to look at Psalm 124. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures that tell us that God is for us and that God is with us. We're going to look at scriptures that cover those areas that tell us that He is with us, He's for us. And I gave you a number of scriptures very directly about how God is for us. And we might give those out again. But if you've been missing, sometimes you might not have time to watch a whole episode that maybe you missed. But I encourage you to watch it, because what we say here is for you, the people that come here, that God put something in here for you. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's go. Do we have our verse of scripture? Psalm 118, verse 8. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Thank God. The Lord is on my side. And then Psalm 118, I'm reading the New Living Translation that I read, the King James. It says that the Lord is for me. The Lord is for me. The King James said that the Lord is on my side. The New Living said the Lord is for me. Well, thank God He is for you. And then go to Psalm 124 and verse 8 again, the Amplified. Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Thank God for the name of Jesus. But He's always, He's always going to help us. There's not a time in life where God will say, I can't help you. He's always there for us. He said, I'll never leave you. Jesus said, and I'll never forsake you. Thank God that He has that. And His promises will always come to us. So let's introduce this a little bit further than we have. We said God is on our side, and He is for us and with us. We can be at rest and peace knowing that He has us covered. We need to come and understand, in terms of understanding the Word of God, that the God of all creation, He is our security. And no matter what we are facing, what we're going through, what kind of trouble we're facing, that He has an answer for us. And He'll be right there in our time of need. He'll never leave us. He's the ever-present God. Psalm 127 and verse 1, the New Living says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? So in understanding that, we need to know that no matter what's going on in your life today, you might have different areas. And I was coming back home from driving from Mobert, Ontario today, and I was listening to Joel Osteen, and I was so encouraged by listening to his message. He's always got an uplifting message. I have him on my Serious Music, where he's one of my channels there, so I listen to that. And if you ever have that channel, just listen to a few moments. He'll just lift you up. The Word of God, He's got that ministry that just pulls you right out of your situation and brings it out so simply and so easily that you could say, anybody can take this. Anybody can have that. That's the best way to be. This kind of teacher you should have. This kind of ministry you should have. They used to criticized Brother Hagin and those guys, said, you know, you just make it too easy for people. He said, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make it easy for people to receive that God is not against them. God is for them. So when God is on our side, any kind of thing you face that God, you know, he's going to be there for you to fight against it. So you need to know that God is on your side to fight for you. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. And we do fight. You know, we don't fight enemies like they did, the Amorites, the Canaanites, all these ites that they faced. But they're types and shadows of what we face today, how they come against us. And so we need to understand that God, you know, he's there for you. And no matter what your situation is, you're going to overcome it. And sometimes it looks so bleak that you're never going to get out of this. And the devil's favorite word is that you got out of this one time, but this time you're not going to get out of this one. How many people know that God will do it again, and he's going to 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 do it again? Some people have thicker heads than other people. It takes them a little bit longer, so God will help you too, no matter how hard your head is. So he is an awesome God. So when we know that he's on our side, we'll have no fear of anything or what can possibly be against us. Who's going to be against God? No one can be against God. And he's on our side. We're on the right team. And as we look at the promises God gave us, and as he gave to Israel, he told them, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll be there for you, and no matter what trouble you face. So the Israelites' story, if you look in the Old Testament, their story is a type and a shadow of us. The story of the Israelites are a type and a story of the Christian person or the church. Or, specifically speaking, when you read the Old Testament, what happened to them is a specific story about you, that you can claim those same things, the blessings. Whatever God said to them, we can personalize it and say that God is for us. And no matter what happens, that he's going to help us no matter what we're going through. So when God's people faced huge challenges, God was always there for them. It didn't matter what they faced. As long as they were walking with him, they were able to overcome their enemies. You know, sometimes people veer off, whether they're ignorant of it or not. They don't know. They're unlearned. And so they're not growing up spiritually, so they make mistakes. They're not strong enough to sustain themselves as they go along. And so they make mistakes. And it's not a time for you to go and attack somebody when somebody falls off and they're out there. It's time for you just to gently bring them in, encourage them that God loves them, that he's for them. And that's the message that we have. It's not a time to go on Facebook and criticize them and tell them, look how bad you are, and you could have had this, you could have done that, but look at me, I'm ahead of you now. You know, it's a chance to encourage people. So what God did for them, he'll do for us. And the Bible says that God has no respecter of persons. You say, well, that was the prophet, you know, that was Paul, you know, that was so on. But no, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect you less than he respects someone else who has a calling in their lives. He loves every one of us the same. He'll treat you the same way as he'll treat the Apostle Paul, because he loves you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah says. And so we see of here, as they were facing an enemy, the Bible says in Acts 10:34 that with God, he plays no favorites. He plays no favorites, and that he's no respecter of persons. God will respect you, and he won't play favorite over you because he did something for somebody else, but he won't do it for you. No, God will do it for you, no matter what your situation, no matter who you are. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, there's an example here where God's speaking to the children of Israel, and you can personalize that. Deuteronomy 20 in verse 1-5, he says here, when you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. You know, these guys didn't have horses and chariots, and they were not fighting men, but they were fighting army. They were not an army. They were just a group of people wandering out there and being led by a guy with a stick, so to speak. You know, and he didn't have an army. He didn't have a gun. He didn't have nothing like that. But he was a man of God who knew God, and God led him that way. And so he said, when you face enemies, when you face your enemies and they have horses and chariots and an army greater than you, than your own, do not be afraid. He's telling the Israelites that the Lord is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He brought you out of the land of Egypt, who is with you. And he says that God is with you. Now, he is the one that brought you out. He didn't just bring you out to leave you alone. You know how many people know that when God saved you, you're born again Christian, he didn't bring you out and left you alone. That God brought you out to help you every single day. You know, when he says that God brought you out of Egypt, he's telling them there that Egypt is a type of satanic kingdom. It's a type of not being born again. It's a type of being in the darkness. Egypt if you read the history of Egypt and what the Egyptians did to the people of God, they were in slavery. They were in bondage. They didn't own property. They didn't own a thing. They were property themselves. They were owned by their captors, and they made them work hard, with hard labor. And so God brought them out with a strong arm and brought them out. He said, I'm going to bring you to a land. And so they had to follow God and had to walk through some things. And so maybe it's you today, you're walking through some situations in your life, but you can't see the answer. Listen, God is smarter than you. He's more intelligent than you. He can see the beginning from the end. And so no matter what you're facing now, you don't see, you can't see it. You're limited. And don't limit the unlimited God with your mentality. Look at a higher. God says, I have a higher way of thinking than you have. I got ways can't even imagine. God has ways today to help you out no matter what your situation is. And he said there, I am the God that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that released you. And you can count on your God today. In verse 2, he says, when you prepare for battle, the priest must come before and speak to the troops. He will say to them, listen, you dudheads. No, he didn't say that. Listen, all you men of Israel. I just want to know if you're awake. Okay, so he said, do not be afraid. Everybody say, with some gusto, say, do not be afraid. Say, hoo, hoo, hoo. I'm trying to get you involved here, so, you know, I got to do something. But it says here, do not be afraid. You know, that's an exhortation. These armies are bigger than you. The problem you're facing is bigger than you. God is telling you, do not be afraid. I want to encourage you today, do not be afraid with this word. So God says here, as you go out to fight your enemies today, do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them. You know, whenever someone is faced with a very difficult situation, and sometimes, you know, when you know there's trouble coming, and sometimes you can panic, like I did the other day. I was panicking because I had some of these things I didn't want to do. How many of you will ever have a little bit of a panic? You got the jitters, you're facing a hard situation. And I was facing something hard the other day, and I got up about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I just immediately stood up, and I thought about my situation. I said, how am I going to face this? I don't have the strength. I don't have the... And I forgot that God's with me for a moment. So I got up and slapped myself around and talked to myself, and I had to say to myself, I had to coach myself, say, listen, you serve the God that is a mighty God, and he can help you. He can strengthen you when you don't have strength. When you don't have ability, he'll give you ability. Amen? So he's the kind of God. So I had to talk to myself and coach myself, my wife was, you know, she saw me get up in the morning early. Like, I don't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start praying, automatically get up my feet, and, well, it wasn't that exciting. Okay, the Bible says, do not lose heart. You know, you can't be discouraged. It's not time to be discouraged, people. I know we've had this pandemic for a while, and things are stretching out longer than it is. And it's really trying us. It's trying our situation. You know, people they want to do things like they used to and go back to life the way it used to be. You know, thank God life will not be like it used to be. It's going to be different now. You're going to start trusting God even more and relying on him more and being close to him. And, you know, we've said this before. And if you go back to my situation back there and listen to what I said to you, I said, life is not going to be easy over on Court Street. I said, there's going to be things that's going to face. We're going to face things that is going to show that the people who come back to church or who are in church, they're the ones that are going to follow God no matter what it is. You know, the people that come to church, they know God's going to protect them. They know God's going to save them. So we're doing our best by the medical people and all that to protect ourselves and make sure that nobody comes in with coughs or fever. And if you lie, you know, well, God, you know, hope you don't lie. But you come in, and so we pray. Everybody's on the honor system. And so we believe that everyone here is not sick, and you don't have symptoms. And so we're doing our best. And yesterday when I went to the community over there, they stopped me going to the community, and they talked with me. I gave them my name and stuff, and just making sure they track me if I brought something in. So we had a great time preaching the Word of God outside. Verse 4, the Lord your God is going to fight with you. So, I mean, you're not going to fight with God, but he's going to be fighting with you to fight against your enemy. He said, against your enemies, he will give you victory. Now, who's going to fight with you? God's going to fight with you. And who's going to fight? Who's going to give you victory? Yeah, he's going to give you victory. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the victory that overcomes the world. I think it's verse 4 and 5, excuse me. So we can quote that scripture when we're feeling really good. Money in our pockets, you know. Our bank accounts are full. You know, everything's come in, you know. You got a nice couch there. Rest, you got chips there, eating your chips, dip, you know. I mean, you're putting up your feed. Your favorite show is on. Amen? Everybody loves you. You don't have any trouble at work, and they're praising you at work. And you can quote that scripture. It don't take much faith to quote that scripture when everything is going bad for you. But what takes faith is when you say that, when you're down in the dump so low, and you can say that God is for me, that I'll have victory over this. You're looking at your trouble, you look at the trouble and say, I'm taking you down, amen? I'm taking you out of here. And so that takes faith. It takes faith to smile, you know, when everything's wrong in your life. It takes faith not to put that bad communication on Facebook and tell people how bad you're having it. You want some pity. Everybody wants a pity party, so put it on Facebook and cry about how big their trouble is, and everybody all pray for me. You know, it takes faith. That's a fight of faith not to do that. But we take our trouble to God. We bring it to God and let Him know and tell the Word that God is on my side. Then you give a testimony and say, you know what? God's on my side. And He's working for me right now while I'm resting, relaxing. He's doing some work right now. I'm going to go to sleep tonight. I'm not going to worry a thing because God is taking care of it right now. Amen? I'm going to go to sleep. Amen? I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait up all night and worry about it. Well, if you're worrying about stuff, then you have it. God doesn't have it. You got to give God your trouble. Give Him a chance to work at your situation. He'll work it out for you. The enemy will do everything to intimidate you, to discourage you from advancing ahead in this life. You must resist Him with God's word in your mouth. David spoke to his opposition, the giant, who was much larger and stronger and much trained than he was in battle. This man was a mighty warrior, but he fell at under this young man's feet. This young man was just a shepherd boy, but he knew his God. And what he did here, this man fell at the feet here, at this young man, David, because he spoke words of faith. You know, we always listen about Mark Hankins, he always tells us, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. He says, never run to your giant with your mouth closed. And David ran to his giant, ran to the giant, and he didn't have his mouth closed. That means, you know, you need to speak the word when you're facing your enemy. You're going to talk him down. No, trash talk him if you have to. Devil, you're coming down because my God is bigger than you. You know, I don't care what you say. I'm going to take you down. So David, you know, he spoke. He said, giant, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take your head. I'm going to feed your carcass to the, feed your body. Your remains are going to be eaten by birds today. And so on. I'm going to take your head off. And so he did. And he had faith. The Bible says that later on, and Paul quotes him, he says, you know, we have the same faith as David, and because we believe and we speak. You know, when you speak something, you gotta say it. You know, whatever you say is your faith speaking. Whatever you're talking about, when you get around people, listen to what they say. You know where their faith is at. But listen to your own words and assess where you're at and begin to talk about, that's where my faith is at. But I want to change it now. I'm going to say something good. I want to say what God has to say. So, never back off. What he did, he spoke the words of faith, and he said what God will do for him or through him. You know, the enemy will never back off from attacking you. He's going to be there relentlessly chasing you, dogging you down. He's not going to stop. So you got to be ready. You got to be willing to combat with him. And you can't back off. You can't run away. You can't go watch Disney, pretend he's not there. He's going to be there after the Disney Channel is over there. He's going to come back to you. So you know you have to stop right in your track and look at him and say, come on here, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. You have to face the enemy. And so I've had to do that a lot of times. Say, hey, devil, come here, I want to talk to you right now. I want to tell you what the situation is here. I want to tell you what God says about my life. And you tell him, and I did tell him. I said, you know what? God says I have the victory. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to win a battle. If you're not willing to talk the enemy down and talk to... The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, how are you going to resist the devil? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, he says verse 8 to 9, he says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And I was thinking about the scripture all day yesterday about First Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go to verse 5. Let's go to read there, and let's go look at the King James Version. We'll get some other version if we have to, but I'm going to kind of veer off a little bit here because I feel like this is something you need to hear this morning. I don't know, how many of people have been facing some challenges here? Let me see your hand. Come on. I mean, probably all of us here, we all face challenges every day. He said, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all you, be subject to one another, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Go to the next one. Verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Well, how do you humble yourself? What does it mean? It doesn't mean to humiliate yourself in front of people, in front of God. No, you humble yourself. You have to come off when you're in trouble. You have to come off and understand that you alone, you don't have enough brain power, strength, intelligence. You don't have enough resources to fight this on your own. It takes some humility. You know, when I was in treatment years and years ago, they told me, Roma, you got to get humble. You have to humble yourself before God. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what he was talking about. I would have done it if they told me what to do. He said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Right now, the hand of God, it of course is God's Spirit, but it's also the Word of God. The Word of God that's given to you by the Spirit is what you humble yourself under, and that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him. So you need to be able to come to God and say, God, I can't handle this. You're humbling yourself to God. You guys say, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm not able to. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough resources to overcome the situation. So I'm humbling my life to you. And so he says, then you cast your cares upon him. So it's hard to, you know, you can't cast your care upon him if you're the proud person. It's opposite of humility. It's opposite of being proud. Because proud people say, I can handle this on my own. I'm just going to grit my teeth. And I'm not going to tell anybody I have a problem here. I'm just going to go through this. The Bible talked about us that it's when we begin to pour our heart out to God and tell someone we have a problem. That's when we get free. I was told a long time ago, Roma, if you're ever going to get out of your problem, you're going to have to learn to be honest. And there's Christians who are not honest. They're not honest about their lives. They just hide in scriptures. Like, we understand scriptures are true, but you have to come to your honesty and see what you're going through, that you're kind of hiding some things. So don't hide. You can't face the enemy on your own. You need help from God, and God's people are there for you to receive help. Now let's go look at here. Jesus said, the Bible says that resist the devil in 1 Peter, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go to verse 8, I think. 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil. You know, as a kind of a thought there, be sober. Well, he's not talking about people who are in a treatment center and they're all drunk, just got off detox and they're drinking every day. Be sober. He's talking about be sober-minded, just have clear-headed. Be clear-headed. Have a clear head in God. Be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Always be ready. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking who he may devour. Now, he's looking for you to devour you. But as we said, as we looked at in other scriptures previously, Psalm 91 says, you're in the secret place of the Most High. And he's trying to find you. When you're staying in the will of God, the perfect will of God, he can't get to you. That's why Psalm 23 says that even in the presence of my enemies, I'm at the table and I'm eating from the table of God, that they're trying to get to you, but they can't get at you because you're in the secret place of the Most High God. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's seeking to someone to devour. So the devil, he's never going to stop trying to get to you. So you're going to have to learn how to fight back. And you fight back, you know what it says, resist the enemy. Is that in there, verse 9? So whom resist? In other words, resist the devil. Resist steadfast in faith, or resist him with your faith, some translation says. Now you're going to resist him with the word. You're going to have to fight back with the word. You're going to have to tell him what the word says. That's what David did. And David rehearsed all what God did for him time and time again. He said, you know, Goliath, God saved me when I was watching the sheep and the lion came and the bear came. I killed that bear. I grabbed that lion by the beard and I slew him. And he's rehearsing this. So in our time of trouble, we need to rehearse in our life. Look back at your life and how many times God saved you. How many times God helped you. And so we need to go back and remember and be grateful for what he's done in our lives. Jesus said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. God can do great things for us, especially when we look to him and when we submit our lives to him. There's nothing in our lives that he cannot fix. Anything in your life that's a tough situation, you know he's going to be there for you. Look at over here in Isaiah 49, 24, 25, you know, time and time again, the enemy would come and steal from Israelites. They would steal, they would plunder them, or they would get annihilated from a greater nation. They were taken away, and the prophets kept telling them, you know, you need to get right with God. And they didn't believe the prophets. And so they went ahead and did what they wanted to do. They served other gods and went ahead and they got captured. And they got annihilated, and they got destroyed. And so here's the situation. These people here who are having a hard time, they're crying, they're having a hard time with life. They're under a hard taskmaster. They're in the enemy's camp, and they were stuck. And people are crying. You know, there's people crying for people that are out there right now. You have family out there that are not following God the way, and you hurt for them. You're hurt for what's going on. It's unnecessary. They got problems in their lives. It's unnecessary. We always say that. But it's, you know, they think, you know, they're doing okay and so on, but we know better than that. Here in Isaiah, the prophet says in Isaiah 49, 24, 25, I'm reading the New Living. Can God do great things? Okay. Who can snatch the plunder from the war of the hands of a warrior? Who can demand a tyrant let his captives go? Verse 25 says, but the Lord says, the captives of the warriors will be released, and the plunder of the tyrants will be retrieved. I will fight for those who fight for you. No, you know, God will fight for you against the tyrant. Who's the tyrant? He's the devil. He's the enemy. He's the demons that are coming against you. Who's the warrior? Warrior are those people that has come and try to kill and steal and destroy, like Jesus said. He's going to come, and he's going to kill and try to destroy. And as 1 Peter said, you know, the adversary, he's going to come. He's going to look to devour you. But the Bible says here that God will help you. He said, I'll fight for you. You know, God is for you. He'll fight for you. And he says it here, I'll fight for you and I will save your children. And so he's going to save you. Believe God for your kids. Believe God for every one of them. If they're out there, and they're even if they're adults, you claim them and believe God for them. Because they're your offspring. Doesn't say it's cut off after a certain time. It's cut off. No, they'll always be your children. You didn't say when they're 25 or when they're 21, you can't pray for them anymore. So they'll always be your children. Israel prayed for his children. Isaac prayed for his children. We continue to trust God no matter what's going on in life here. Sometimes we can come to a place where we can't find no comfort. But God, in those even the deepest and darkest times of anguish, God can help us. Like Israel wept for their children who were in captivity, and there seemed to be no hope at all because the enemies were so strong. You might be facing a situation now, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's cancer. There's no way out. And lately, I don't know why, I've seen so many situations where people are so sick. Lots of people. I've done so many funerals in the last little while, it's not even funny. Of all the years I've had, I think this summer was the worst I've ever seen. I don't know, maybe the devil's attacking more. Maybe people have given up hope during this time and they've let their guard down. And I've seen this time and time again. Now, I'm not talking about older people dying. I'm talking about younger people and children, even little children. And so we see the enemy trying to attack families. And that's why the Bible says to be vigilant. You know what your children are doing in your very own house, upstairs or downstairs? You better check up on them. They're letting somebody in. And watch out and let them know. Just say, hey, listen, I know you don't, sometimes, you know, kids are running the houses. They run everything. They run everything with their apparatus, or what they call these things, whatever they're doing on their online. And so we have to watch them and look what's going on. At least when they're a certain age, when they're older, it's harder to do it because they're 16, 18 years old, and it's harder for us to sometimes control that. But we need to be vigilant and understand that God is for us and He will help us out no matter what's going on in our lives. Here's a good scripture again, Psalm Jeremiah 31, another prophet. And he says over here about the captivity and there seemed to be no way out. And verse 15 of the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, I'm reading down to three scriptures here, 15 to 17. This is what the Lord says. A cry is heard in Ramah, deep anguish and bitter weeping. That's really tough, hard crying. We see that in the Bible says that David I think it's First Samuel, they had so much, they lost their families, they lost all their stuff, their homes were burnt down, they lost all their belongings. They lost all their little children. They lost their wives. And the Bible says they cried till they couldn't weep anymore. I don't know if you've ever been there where you cried and there's nothing left to cry. There's no more tears. You cried anguish. But God is speaking to you today if you've gone through that. Rachel, the word Rachel, it speaks about, the kingdom or the Israelites. He's talking about Israel. Rachel weeps for her children. That's when they were taken captive. The enemy came and took all their children. How many people know that children are the future? That the devil will try to come and steal the future from you? When you're suffering today, when you're worried about your children, when you're worried about whatever family member you have out there, it steals you, it robs you of today's joy. And so he says in here, but now this is what the Lord says, not any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from the distant land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children will come back again to their own land. So this is a prophetic word. And so some people are suffering real hard, and they're always, the devil is saying, no, what if this happened? What if this happened? Well, we don't live by what ifs. We live by what God says, what His word tells us. So we're staying close to the word. He says, what if this happens and what if that happens? So we live by the word of God. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. So we need to get that word, devour the word, put it in your spirit, change your mind, change your heart. God doesn't want you to doubt His word when times come and the enemy comes and attacks you when you're in big trouble. And so he's not that understanding when it comes to, I'll put up a little bit of unbelief. No, God wants you to stay in faith. If you're falling off, keep going, people. Keep going. Stay strong. During here, here's a big storm. The disciples were having trouble. They were doubting God. And here during a deep storm, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and 40, the Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. So they took Jesus in the boat and started to leave. The Bible says, leaving the crowd behind, although the boats followed him. But soon a fierce storm came up. Waves were breaking into the boat, began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat with his head on the cushion. Disciples woke him up and shouting, saying, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? So this is a time when a fierce storm came. And maybe in your life right now, you're at a place where you're telling God, God, don't you care? I want to tell you something, that God cares for everything about you. And the Bible says that he's concerned about every detail of your life. And so be really encouraged today that He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows the beginning from the end. And He wants to help you get out of that situation. I like reading the scriptures. When I read them, I dissect them. And the Bible says, some scripture says, he cares. There's not a detail in your life that you have that he doesn't know about. So when you cast your care upon the Lord, when he says he cares for you, well, he cares for every detail of your life. And if that trouble comes back, the enemy tries to bring that back on you, you say, no, wait a minute. God's got it. I'm not handling it. I can't handle it. I'm on. I humbled myself before God. I can't go there anymore. I can't bring that thought to my mind. And so we bring it to God because God says, I'm for you. I'm with you. I'm gonna help you out in this situation. He didn't say, okay, it's yours. You're on your own this time. I've trained you enough. No, God's there all the time with you. He said, don't you care for us? So people question God. They question him in the time when they're having a great need. We're all growing in faith right now. Maybe what you're going through is something I probably wouldn't be afraid of. And the next guy over there, if what you're going through, I can hardly imagine what you're going through, and I don't know if I could ever handle it. But in those situations, God will still be for me. We look at someone and say, how did you ever go through that situation? How did you lost all your family members? Everyone died in your family. How did you? Well, it's God that will sustain you. He'll help you. He'll get you, recover you, no matter what your situation. When Jesus woke up, the Bible says he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked him, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? So we see this situation where people, we can relate to that situation. And God wants you. And God, at that point, Jesus didn't say that to necessarily just rebuke them, but he's telling them, listen, use your faith. Why didn't you? I've been teaching you guys. Why don't you use your faith? Why don't you believe? I'm here. I'm going to be for you. I did tell you back there, we're going to the other side. And the Bible says in the fifth chapter, it says, and they came to the other side. Did you know they came to the other side? They didn't drown. They helped them. God was for them. He was with them. And then when they landed on the other side, there was a demon-possessed man waiting for them. Isn't that really funny? Sometimes when you come through a hard time and you're all okay now with God, God helped you out, and now you're on your feet again, and then something else happens to you. It's a situation. I think about that in 27th chapter, book of Acts. Paul is at sea, hanging on, with those people. They're just going to die. They haven't seen the sun in how many 20-some days. And storm was blasting, and they're just going up and down. People getting sick, getting tossed around in the ship. And an angel came to Paul and said, listen, Paul, everybody's going to be okay. You're going to lose this ship and all the cargo, but nobody in here is going to die. And Paul said, I believe God. I believe that angel, this angel of God, of who I am, who I serve, I believe him in that storm. He said, you're not going to die. And so everything was lost. They lost all the cargo. They lost the ship. So you think about this, imagine all those people with businesses who lost everything. They invested stuff to send over and they lost stuff because the guys didn't listen to Paul. Sometimes people lose things, they didn't listen to God. Maybe God did tell somebody, don't put stuff on there. This ship is going to go down. We don't know. Maybe it could have happened. But the ship, they lost all the ship. They lost all the cargo, but everyone's life was saved. And then when they landed, got to the island, the Bible says those people there were so nice to them and they helped them out, made a fire, warmed them up, and gave them some tea. And whatever they had, gave them there, some bannock, whatever they had. Gave them, the tribes was there helping them out. The Bible says in the King James, they showed them no little kindness, King James says. But showed them with great kindness and compassion that people were there to help them. God will be there with people helping you. But as soon as they were getting settled in for the night, after they were shipwrecked, Paul started making a fire. And the Bible says that a viper came and bit him on the hand. And the Bible said he shook off that poisonous viper and everybody thought, he's going to drop dead in a moment, but he just shook it off and it fell down. We need to be like Paul and shake the devil down and say, we're not going to, I don't care. You could go ahead and bite, but the Bible says nothing shall hurt me. Everybody stand up, praise God, amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. We are in a time to see great, great victory in our lives. Praise God. I preached to you long enough. God is for you. Everybody say, God is for me.
God is for me.
Say, God is with me.
In
the time of trouble, He's there. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that are watching online, maybe this is a good time to turn to Jesus. Turn to God. Maybe there's something in your life that you have to turn over. Maybe you're a Christian and maybe you're letting stuff get in your life to serve Him 100%. So I would like you today, encourage you to turn your will over to God 100%. Give Him all your life. Humble yourself to God. Say, God, I'm coming to you today and I want to give you my whole life. Not just part of it, I want to give you my whole life. Thank you, Lord God. Whatever I close for a moment, please, I want to ask you something. If you're in here, if you're in this room right now, you know, sometimes we take for granted that people are always with close to God. We don't know. Sometimes you have to humble yourself. You're among your own Christian. People don't know what's going on in your life. It's none of their business in certain ways. But it's our business to help you come back to God, to encourage you to come back to God. If there's somebody in here, you're a Christian, you're born again, you've been saved, you spoke with tongues, you serve in the ministry, serve of God. I don't know who you are. But if you've been away from God, this is a time, a sacred moment that you can come to God and say, Lord, I wanna come back to you 100%. I wanna serve you. There are things that are waiting for you, things to do. God has assignments for you. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you never had the opportunity to say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, come in my life and save me. I'm a sinner. I cannot help myself. I need you. I need you to help me today. If you're that person, I'm going to ask you in a second to lift your hand up. But there are other people here that are Christian. Your walk is not as close to God as you should be. And you need to get back to God to where you feel secure. Right now you don't feel as secure. I want to ask you and encourage you to come back to God.